Virginia Beach versus VMRC and Hightower. Good morning. Is it safe to assume that everyone has signed the sign-in sheets?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And just to get a few things settled, have you all discussed how you wish to split up your time as appellees?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, great. Thank you. And what, if any, time would you like to reserve for rebuttal?
3 minutes, please, sir.
Okay. Anytime you're ready, come on back.
May it please the court, my name is Gerald Harris on behalf of the appellant in the City of Virginia Beach. This case today is about whether a private riparian leaseholder may effectively block a public navigational project and whether the VMRC is essentially powerless to stop it. The analysis that's required to answer these questions has to begin with the Constitution of Virginia. Article 11, Section 1 states specifically that it shall be the policy of the Commonwealth of Virginia to protect its waterways from pollution, impairment, or destruction for the benefit, enjoyment, and general welfare of the people of the Commonwealth.
Counsel, both in that provision and some of the United States Supreme Court cases you cite regarding the states as sovereigns, you continually refer to the sovereign having a right to protect public navigation. In this context, isn't of those cases, the sovereign is the Commonwealth, isn't it? And it's its power, unless it specifically delegates it in some way to a political subdivision, correct?
The way I would phrase it, Your Honor, is that it is the responsibility of the sovereign to protect the jus publicum. This court and the Supreme Court of Virginia has phrased it in such a way that it is the responsibility, in fact, the phrase a solemn duty has been used, in protecting the jus publicum and the rights inherent in it.
But any duty is to be exercised by the Commonwealth unless it specifically delegates that to a subdivision. It is the power and duty and responsibility of the Commonwealth, where all the political power resides, absent a delegation.
That is correct, but to the extent the delegation has been made in this case, it comes under Virginia Code Section 15.2-2403, which is the power of special service
districts. Counsel, that actually requires that the entity actually do a condemnation, and isn't there an exception in the condemnation as it relates to the riparian rights that would have been granted here?
Respectfully, I would disagree, Your Honor. Under that code section, 15.2-2403, the power of special service districts, it requires an ordinance to be passed by the local municipality, and in Virginia Beach, it actually requires 80% of those neighborhood landowners to consent to be taxed at a higher rate for the purpose of dredging to maintain existing uses. Now, there has been an amendment to the Virginia Code which prohibits municipalities from exercising the power of eminent domain over existing oyster leases. That is true. But in this case, you have to consider...
And the Commonwealth has the power to do that.
It's the Commonwealth's choice. The Commonwealth and the federal government do have the power to do that.
But again, you're not technically the Commonwealth or the federal government. I think that's the point that Judge Russell was asking. So how, again, is the sovereign rights that you're talking about transferred to the city?
The city's contention is that we're not asking it to be transferred to the city. The city's contention is we're asking VMRC, as the agent of the Commonwealth responsible for administrating the state-owned bottomlands, to accept their responsibility, to accept their solemn duty.
Do you agree that 28.2.615, subsection 5, doesn't have a role to play here?
Admittedly, Your Honor, I'm not specifically sure what subjection that is, so if you could give me a little more.
Municipal dredging projects located in the Lynn Haven River or its creeks and tributaries, including dredging projects to restore existing navigation channels in areas approved by the Commission. And this is in a statute titled, the Commonwealth shall guarantee to any person who has complied with the ground assignment requirements the absolute right to continue to use and occupy the ground for the term of the lease, referring to oyster leases, subject to the following things. But you haven't cited 615.5, and I just want to confirm that you don't believe it has a role here.
There's a difference between the riparian oyster leases and general oyster leases. So as to a riparian oyster lease, upon application, that continues in perpetuity to the riparian owner. And the city's contention in this case is that's the arena that we're working in, that Mr. Hightower is the owner of that property and that upon assignment of this oyster lease, he would maintain that right in perpetuity. But that right is a conditional one. that under ReMRC versus Chincoteague Inn, that the Commonwealth has a responsibility not to, quote, relinquish, surrender, alienate, destroy, or substantially impair the right of the jus publicum or the rights of the people inherent to the jus publicum. Case law makes clear that the right to public navigation is an inherent right in the jus publicum.
Can the Commonwealth order the damming of a river? If it's in the public interest, can the Commonwealth decide that it wants to dam off a river for any number of legitimate public purposes that would clearly affect rights of navigation?
If they chose to dam the river in that way, it would remain subject to the superior right of navigation. So that damming may take a place or may take effect for a limited period, but at the moment in which a superior right to public navigation shows itself, that damming cannot continue. And I would argue in this case, that's essentially what we have here, that this case is about Mr. Hightower's attempt to stop a public navigation project. That the application of this lease in the timeline that we've seen is intended to stop the public navigation project.
In 28.2.615, there is a listing of things that would affect such an oyster lease. But the you did it for an impermissible purpose or an illicit purpose or a political purpose isn't one of those things. It seems to me in 6.615, the General Assembly has expressed, we've granted this the right to this oyster lease, but we reserve some conditions that the Commonwealth can invade the right of the leaseholder. But by having listed some things, isn't that an exclusive list?
Respectfully, I would disagree, because you go Why? Back to Article 11, Section 1, which is the policy set forth for the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the way that that section is written is, one, it states the policy, and then in Section 2, it instructs the General Assembly to draft statutes that would affect that policy. So when you read those sections, like Section 615, it has to be read in view that the General Assembly is presumed to have read the policy of the Commonwealth and then passed that along to these next sections. That, in fact, that Section 1 informs everything else.
Is there anything about an oyster lease generally, not the oyster lease in this case, that violates Article 11, Section 1?
So long as it doesn't interfere with the public right to navigation, I would say no. An oyster lease is a superior right to all other private oyster leases. Mr. Hightower, in this case, is absolutely entitled to his oyster lease, wherever he so shall designate under Section 600. But to the extent that that will become superior to the right of navigation, it cannot stand.
The dredging project definitionally will destroy part of the economic value of his lease, won't it? I mean, you'll dig up to the extent it's seeded with oysters, you'll dig them up.
Well, in this case, this is a condemned area.
It can't be condemned. I thought we all agreed because of the statute that says you can't condemn an oyster lease.
When I say condemned, I don't mean condemnation, eminent domain. I mean condemned for the purpose of harvesting oysters. So in Mr. Hightower's case, you can't grow oysters in this area and sell them for profit. I mean, he has a right to this area. Yes, that is absolutely true. But to the extent that any diminution in value that comes from it, the courts have addressed that. The United States Supreme Court and the Virginia Supreme Court have said that, for example, in Oliver Reed Richmond, that the qualified right that comes with these grants cannot become superior to the right of public navigation. So the accepting that premise is true, that yes, it will have some diminution in value.
And so you'd have to pay him for it, but there's a statute that specifically says you can't use condemnation. You effectively can't take it and pay condemnation because that's been specifically excluded by the General Assembly.
Your Honor, I would offer that the case law has made clear that there is not a requirement to repay a private riparian leaseholder for access to their lands so long as it's done according to the superior right of public navigation in the jus publicum.
Are any of those cases decided after the property rights amendment that was recently placed in the Virginia Constitution?
The amendment to the Virginia Constitution, I forget the exact year that occurred, but the...
After 2012.
2014 was BMRC versus Chincoteague Inn. The court, Justice Millett in that case, does a nice analysis of where we begin this analysis and how we sort of get to what the rights of the competing rights here, which is that of a private individual and that of the jus publicum, the right of the public and the public navigation that's inherent in the jus publicum. And in that analysis, and when you read the other cases, it's a continuation of what happened before 2014, that there's this fundamental principle that exists at law.
But you're relying on Oliver. Oliver's not really supportive of your position, because in Oliver, the city was given the power by the state. Isn't that different than what we have here?
Different in the terms
of... You're quoting Oliver, but it seems like it may not be quite on point. So I'm getting to the point of, how does Oliver help you?
Oliver helps the city of Virginia Beach because the city of Virginia Beach is attempting to vindicate the right of its citizens. The citizens of Virginia Beach who have a right to public navigation that is superior to any singular private right. And I believe Oliver stands for that premise, that under no circumstances, because of the Virginia Constitution, can a singular private right become superior to the right of the people in the navigable waterways of the Commonwealth.
But again, in Oliver, the power for the dredging in terms of the river wasn't something the city had in and of itself. It was actually given by the state. So aren't we sort of looping back to the same position in terms of what you're relying on?
Virginia Beach is relying on the power of a special service district. So I do believe that there's a conveyance from the General Assembly to the city of Virginia.
Where is that conveyance?
15.2-2403, the right to dredge to maintain existing...
And again, that goes back into the requirement for the condemnation and the exemption under 600, doesn't it? Are we looping back is what I'm asking in terms of your argument.
Well, there is a... I wouldn't say it's looping back. I would say that there's a continual theme that continues to pop up on every issue that's a part of this appeal, whether it be standing and the view taken by VMRC and the trial court that 28.2-600 can be read myopically, that they can open their code book and read that code section and say, this speaks definitively, is the phrase they've used in their brief, and no further analysis is required. The city's position is that a much wider, broader view of this...
Where does that bring you then on standing? Because that's one of the things that you sort of brought up. Is standing an issue here?
Standing is an issue. The city's argument is that VMRC has essentially closed its eyes and covered its ears to the city's objection. They have looked and they've read a standing requirement into 28.2-600 that simply doesn't exist at law. Rule 2A1 instructs that standing is any aggrieved party that's specifically harmed by the ruling of the agency. And they explain an aggrieved party in VMRC versus Clark. And in that case, it has to be a particularized harm. And in a particularized harm here, the city, as we've explained, is this is a right granted by statute to dredge to maintain existing uses.
Absent a direct grant from the Commonwealth to do this, to protect public waterways, to create the dredging district and do so, the city has no inherent authority to do this. It has to be granted by the Commonwealth because that's the way Dillon's rule works.
I agree with your statement of the Dillon rule, yes.
Therefore, anything that any right or power that the Commonwealth grants to the city to do something can be limited by the Commonwealth. And so if you have one statute that says generally you can do this, but a statute that specifically says you can't do this particular thing, the specific governs over the general, does it not?
In a general sense, yes, that is a true statement of law. But what I would offer in this case is the framing of the issue is important. Because it's not as the city is attempting to take over a responsibility that's that of the state. Instead, the city is asking VMRC to essentially do their job, to administrate the state-owned bottom land with a discerning eye towards the jus publicum. And they simply have not done so in this case. And it's for that reason...
Well, VMRC, much like the city of Virginia Beach, is a creature of statute, is it not?
It is, and it's created under the Virginia...
It only has the power under Article 3, Section 1 to do what the General Assembly has told it to do.
That is correct. And the General Assembly is informed as to what to do based on the Constitution of Virginia.
Well, right. But what did the General Assembly tell VMRC to do regarding an oyster lease if somebody meets all of the parameters?
They shall assign it. But that doesn't mean it's exclusive to all other thought and consideration. That it must
be... But isn't shall ministerial?
Shall can take on two meanings. One is mandatory in effect, and then the other is directory, that you shall do these things. And in this case, I believe that it is shall. As I stated already, Mr. Hightower shall be entitled to his lease wherever he so shall designate. But that does not mean that it is a superior right to all others. His right is limited in scope. It's a qualified one. When you read the case law, you hear about navigational easements, conditional rights, qualified rights. The truth is the VMRC has a solemn duty to administer both private rights but also keep respect towards the jus publicum. And they simply have not done so in this case. And I'd ask to reserve my last minute for rebuttal, unless there's any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Block.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Kelsey Block. I represent the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. I think Your Honors brought up some very good points. The fact of the matter is that VMRC is a creature of statute. It is bound to comply with the statute. Now, the 28.2600 is a mandatory version of shall.
Let me ask you a standing question first. Is there any dispute that if the lease is not subject to invasion by the City of Virginia Beach Dredging District, that the dredging project is essentially impossible to complete, and that the city, is it undisputed that the city would have to return all the assessments collected?
Your Honor, since we didn't raise standing in the court below, we were intending to let Mr. Hightower's counsel handle that question. If you'd like me to answer.
If the Commonwealth has no position and is not here defending the standing ruling, then you don't have to answer the question.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. So 28.2600's use of shall is mandatory. It does not provide any subjective criteria by which VMRC could use to consider whether or not to deny the Hightower lease. You can compare that with 28.2607, which also says that VMRC shall assign a general oyster lease, but only if, in the judgment of the commissioner, the lease is in the public interest. In that case, the Commonwealth has delegated to VMRC the ability to manage the jus publicum, as they say, and determine what is in the public interest of the Commonwealth.
I'll ask you the same question, because it seems to me that the Subdivision 5 of 28.2615 seems to have been written for a very specific purpose, and boy, it certainly seems like it was written for, I don't know, this specific purpose, but I'm trying to figure out why it applies or doesn't apply.
615 subsection 5 does not apply to this case because it is not retroactive, and the Hightower lease was issued before subsection 5 was put into place.
If the lease had not been issued and somebody applied for a lease in the Lynn Haven River, assuming the lease hadn't been issued, same set of circumstances, a lease is applied for after subsection 5 becomes effective, would the lease be subject to invasion by the dredging district?
Yes, Your Honor, it would. And there would be no, Virginia Beach would have no problem with the Hightower lease if that section had applied and they could just dredge through it. That's not the situation we have. So the city is trying to argue that VMRC should have looked outside of the statute to some higher authority that Virginia Beach is claiming that gives it the right to override the statute and gives VMRC the right to ignore the statute. That is just not the case. 15.2.2403 does give them the right to dredge to maintain existing uses, but that is limited expressly in 28.2628, which was amended in 2014 to remove the locality's abilities to use eminent domain to take oyster leases. If Virginia Beach truly had the same constitutional right as either Congress or the Commonwealth to maintain navigation or improve navigation, this would not be an issue. It wouldn't matter that we had issued a lease. And since it's not a constitutional right, VMRC is bound by the statutory directive. Unless you have any further questions, Your Honor, we ask that you affirm the Commission's decision and uphold the ruling below.
Thank you. Mr. Eason?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Carl Eason. I'm counsel for Phil Hightower. It's an honor to be before you today. I'd like to address, first of all, the inquiry regarding standing. And I think that Judge Padgett wrestled with that initially. If you look at the record, however, you'll see that the city came to court saying that there is a potential oyster interference with their dredging project because of an oyster lease. What dredging project? I've been asking the city for 2 years preceding that, tell me where your dredge is going to be, long before the private lease was ever granted, and it was never articulated. In fact, it ultimately was. Your question was, will this prevent the dredge project from going forward? And the answer is that the proposed dredging, as it stands this morning, as I stand before you, doesn't touch Mr. Hightower's property in any way whatsoever. It goes around his oyster lease, and I believe that their proposed route is through an adjacent oyster lease by Mr. Zipperer, and I believe it's with his consent that they go through it. I think that the other thing that Judge Patrick thought about was, and cited by VMRC, I think it was Mr. Badger, he said, the city's not a riparian owner. They don't own that bottom. The Commonwealth of Virginia owns that bottom, and we know came back that if it's not preserved by a grant from the king, and we trace back to it, then everything else is owned by the Commonwealth, and they have a right to regulate it. So what you had was a potential interference with a potential undefined lease, or dredge, rather, where the location had not been defined.
So, Council, is your argument about whether they're an aggrieved party, that there's no actual harm, that the potential doesn't qualify?
I think that Judge Patrick was very cautious, and he said, if you read his order, he said, even assuming that they have standing, because they did have some interest there. Now, was that a substantial interest? Was that an economic interest? We call this a public dredge project. It's really somewhat of a private dredge project because it's funded by those who have to pay into that SSD. But I think that's why he went ahead and accorded them standing and allowed them to participate and put into the record what they wanted. And that's why he wrote that opinion in the alternative. He said, assuming they have standing, I still believe that the agency, and now we switch and we look at what's at standard of review, and they say he used the wrong standard of review. The standard of review is twofold. If we look at Chincoteague versus VMRC, one is questions of law are left to the judiciary. Questions that aren't questions of law and they deal with the expertise and competence of the agency are left best to the agency itself, and we cloak them with the presumption of correctness. So if we read his actual order.
Well, back to the standing question. I just want to make sure, from the record, not from anything that you've learned after the record closed. Is it argued in the record that because of the existence of the lease, the dredging is there evidence in the record that the dredging project itself would be stopped completely and that they would have to refund the assessments already laid?
Absolutely not. That was an argument advanced by the city at the trial of this case, which followed 1 year after the closure of the record and the controversy. But at that point, the lease had not been determined, and there was no permit application pending even before VMRC. This is not a case about right of navigability. It's a right of dredge. And the city has to apply for dredging permits through the municipality, through VMRC, the state, and also through the Corps of Engineers, just like anyone else. That project wasn't in jeopardy because of this lease at the time, because the project wasn't defined as of that time. And that is established in the record very clearly.
But the dredging district itself had been created before the lease was created?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. The SSD had been in place for quite some time. I don't hide it. Mr. Hightower is an elderly man. He's not favorable to paying taxes for the next 15 years of his life, should he live that long. And he's not happy with having oyster cages up against his house. So he was against on both scores. But the SSD was long in existence beforehand. And he's part of it. He's paying taxes as well.
Well, if they can't do the dredging project, they would have to return the assessments, correct? They can't keep them in perpetuity.
I don't represent the city, but I would concur with that statement, sir.
I'm sure your client would probably be interested in them returning them.
I think my client would be willing to be taken out of the SSD, but those aren't the facts before us.
Well, if the granting of the lease prevents the dredging project and effectively requires them to return the money, aren't they an aggrieved party?
Yes, sir, if that were the case.
Okay.
But the statute that gives him the right, this lease was in existence prior to that, so I think he had some vested rights. I also concur that the shall is not a precatory word. It's a mandatory word.
Well, it may be standing to lose, but that's a different question.
Right.
They may be a party aggrieved by the order, even if the order is to be affirmed. I mean, you can see that, correct?
I do, sir.
And so they could have standing even if, because of shall, they lose every time.
I think that Judge Patrick gave them that standing, notwithstanding his order in the alternative. He allowed them to come in and express why they were aggrieved and to be heard by the court. Are there any other questions that the court may have of me?
No,
all right. By not addressing any of the things orally, of course, I don't intend to waive any of those, and I also adopt the position that was given by the Attorney General's office in the case.
Well, I do have one question because I'm asking it to everybody. Subsection 5 of 28.2.615. Is it Mr. Hightower's position simply that it's not retroactive and therefore it has no application here?
Absolutely, and it was not by happenstance that that statute came about after some of the controversy started arising between the proposed projects and the leases. But this lease was part of that, and so I don't think that it does apply. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Easton.
I understand I have 1 minute, so I will be brief in rebuttal. Specifically as to standing, I would point this court to its own opinion in Wills versus Virginia Marine Resources Commission. It states that an appellant is required to demonstrate that they possess either an immediate pecuniary and substantial interest in the litigation or that they have been denied some personal or property right, legal or equitable, by BMRC's decision. I would argue to this court that the City of Virginia Beach fits squarely into that category.
Where in the record does it demonstrate that the dredging project can't go forward if the lease is granted?
The difficulty with that question, Your Honor, is that the city was granted no standing and that they were not given an opportunity to be heard in front of the Virginia Marine Resource Commission. The decision was made that we don't have rights to present evidence. Had we been given that opportunity, we would have presented that evidence. The truth is that the VMRC has an obligation beyond simply reading 28.2-600. The framing of the issue is that it's their responsibility, not the city's, and they've neglected that responsibility. Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Of course you may.
Does the city contest the Attorney General's position that to the extent that 28.2-615 subsection 5 would apply on the facts of the case, it doesn't apply to this case because it doesn't have language indicating it's retroactive?
I'd answer that in two parts, and I respect that my time is running out. First is that it doesn't apply in this case because this is a riparian oyster lease. Section 615 relates to general oyster leases, and there is an important nuanced distinction between those two. So that's the first difference. But the second is I have to concede that, yes, there is no retroactivity. But the point remains that the MRC has to consider that any lease they grant must remain subject to the inherent right of the jus publicum. And with that, I'll yield the remainder of my time to the court. Thank you.
Thank you. We will come down and greet counsel, then take a very brief